I think I'm having an art attack.
Welcome to another episode of Art Attack. I am your host, Justin Bua, and we are here with our other amazing host, Lizzie Dastin. Lizzie, I can't believe we're finally talking about Cindy Sherman.
I know. I can't believe that we've gone this many episodes without her. So I'm very excited. I wonder if you and I feel differently about her work. So it's always fun when we get into a respectful and toothsome debate. So we will see. Do you? Well, let me just ask you, and then we can talk about her practice. But she is one of the most iconic, influential contemporary artists. Specifically, she works with the medium of photography. What do you think of her work?
Well, I'm glad you asked this because I feel I did a, when I was hosting Ovation TV, I had done a ton of intros, outros, and bumpers on artists, and celebrities, and musicians, you name it, Jimmy Page, Madonna, and Cindy Sherman was one of the ones I did. And so even though I was kind of more of an introductory thing as a narrator, I learned a lot about her. I didn't learn about her in school. I didn't take her in art history class. I know now how influential she is, but I would say this, and this is, I'm always going to give it to you raw. I'm just going to give it to you real. I did not care for her work because I don't think I really understood it. So as I've gotten older, I do understand it. And the more that I think I understand it, I think the deeper that it gets, right? Like, so it's, she's very much like unraveling an onion, because for the time you're like, oh yeah, that's cool. I mean, we all do selfies. It's not that big of a deal. Like, what is she doing? But if you think about it historically, she's doing and creating these images like kids, everybody are doing selfies today, but it's done from a different lens, right? Like, so it, if you just look at her, you go, oh, okay, she's just taking a selfie. But like, it's not a selfie. It's an introspective look from the outside. It's a look at the background, looking into her from the reverse angle. It's, you know, it just feels like a way deeper look into your spiritual self and celebrity and images. And it just, I really like it, and I'm still trying to understand it. So I want to plead ignorance on really understanding her too deeply, because I don't want to have that knee jerk, oh, I hate that, it's just a selfie thing. Because I know now way more than I knew, and I feel like she's doing really interesting, provocative stuff.
I think that's an incredible introduction to her work. And I love the nuanced way that you discussed grappling with your own reaction to what she does. And I think that the selfie comparison is quite fascinating, because when she started working, really, it was in the late 1970s. And I had never made the leap from that point in time and the practice that she has mastered and then iterated again and again and again throughout the next four decades. I hadn't made that connection between what she was doing to selfie culture, because for me, one of the most fascinating aspects of her work is that, yes, every photograph does include Cindy Sherman, yet no photograph is actually of Cindy Sherman. She always dissolves into a different character. She performs. And aren't selfies really a performance for us too? We are hoping to engender a certain kind of reaction. So it's not a performance in quite as obvious a way, but I think anytime we self-consciously take a self-image, we're hoping that our viewer is going to see us in a certain light. And that's really what Cindy Sherman is doing too. So I love that bridge that you started to construct for us. I think that's really smart. So going back to the 1970s, for me, the historical positioning of her that's significant is the difference between modernism and postmodernism. So modernism is about answering questions. It's providing something that's resolved. And postmodernism is unraveling that, disintegrating that resolve, and it's a provocation of questions. And you articulated that in your description of how you feel about her work. So I think that's important to remember. Postmodern art is a piece of a much larger structure. So it's like a brick in a wall. It's an aspect, but it relates to so many other things. There's this cross-pollination between the object and so many other factors. And in modernism, there's not really that self-conscious recognition of how the work relates in a larger whole. So there was this benchmark exhibition called the Pictures Exhibition in 1977, and that is Cindy Sherman's generation. She wasn't in that initial show, but eventually she was adopted, so was Richard Prince. But it was about questioning authority, questioning authorship, and the curator and the artists are influenced by this theoretician, Roland Barthes. And Barthes has this incredible line that I think synthesizes everything. It's the birth of the reader must come at the cost of the death of the author. And this reminds me of minimalism and a lot of different postmodern groups where the authority of the maker of art is a whole lot less interesting and important and valued than the way that the viewer interprets his or her body within that space of the art. And so I think just the demystification of this artist with all capital letters, that's starting to happen now. And so all of these artists, whether they be performance artists, photographers, or mixed media in some way, they're conceptualizing these similar feelings about authority, authenticity. And Cindy Sherman, her first project that really launched her career is called the Untitled Film Stills. And it's a series of 69 photographs, all black and white, where she is dressing as various tropes of 1950s women. So she's influenced by film noir, by the stereotypical use of a female body in mass media. And so she dresses as types. And then a photograph is taken of her in some kind of constructed, reacted scene. And I think that this series is one of the most incredible, remarkable, powerful series of photographs that I've ever seen. And I can get into why later, but do you have any reactions to the Untitled Film Stills?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because it's just image, right? Like she's not literally dressed as Audrey Hepburn in a Breakfast at Tiffany's staged environment. Feels like she's her own, even though perhaps she really grabbed it from an exact, you know, Fellini film or, you know, film, some B film noir, right? Level film. I don't know. Great artists hide their tracks. Right. So, but she's grabbing from the genre. So it becomes not a photo, but an image. And then I would say, is it an image or is it just real art? Because it's making, like you said before, us think about what's happening in there. And yeah, she is the also, this is a sidetrack, but not really. She is the inspiration or one of for Tracy Ullman, who I love. I mean, Tracy Ullman, remember the Tracy Ullman show? And of course, The Simpsons got launched on Ullman because they were doing interstitials. Matt Groening was doing interstitials. And then James Brooks comes along and picks up The Simpsons off of Tracy Ullman. And maybe Tracy Ullman is only there because of Cindy Sherman. Look at the tie that I disconnected. Without Cindy Sherman, there might not be any Simpsons. That's a fact, actually. I just thought of that. No one might have ever thought of that besides me right now. I'm having a moment. But yeah, no, I feel deeply interested, you know, which is a lot more than you could say for a lot of photography. And I look from a technical level, because we always have to talk a little bit about that. You know, is she shooting with a Hasselblad? Is she shooting it? Is she having someone set up? I guess you would know the answer to that. Does she shoot her own stuff? Because is this like the real original selfie? She has the original selfie. Did she create the selfie also? She created the Simpsons. Did she create the selfie?
Cindy Sherman, creator of Simpsons and the selfie.
I mean, no, but like, but then does she own part of Meta and Instagram and Facebook? Does Zuckerberg cut her in? No, seriously. Is she the beginning of the selfie? I think she is.
She could be. Now, you asked a question, which I'm going to respond to with an infuriating question myself, but you asked if she's the one who takes the actual image. And my question is, does that matter to you? Is she able to be the photographer of the work, but also the subject and not the person to click the frame?
The answer would be yes, because not because it makes it more art, but because it's more impressive. It's Tom Cruise doing his own stunts. Like, I don't really care. In the end of the movie is the movie, and that's really what I'm basing it on. But I'm more impressed that Tom Cruise does his own stunts. That's, you know, same thing with Cindy Sherman. I'm impressed that she set up the camera, that she did all of her hair, makeup, and wardrobe. I'm impressed that she's a one-woman tambourine band. I'm impressed by that. But it doesn't make it any greater or less.
Okay. And I think that your question is one that a lot of people have had. Is she really the author of the image if she's not the one physically clicking the camera? And that, to me, relates back to this earlier question of authority of art making. And maybe she's trying to distance herself from that. She creates this whole mise-en-scene and she frames everything. She's incredibly present in each of the decisions. And then she situates herself within that frame as she intends to. But does she have to be the one who takes the image to be its author? And so I think that that's an excellent question for me. I don't think she has to be, but certainly that has been a criticism or a curiosity that has come up many times throughout her career.
And can I ask if she does do it, or do you not know?
I actually don't know. I would think she doesn't, only because you can sometimes see both of her hands and she's further away. And so maybe there's some kind of self-released timer. But yeah, but in the 70s, I don't really know if that technology was available. But I guess I've never tried to investigate that, because to me, it doesn't matter. And of course, I'm curious too, but I ultimately think that it's just a fact. It's not an integral part of our understanding of her work. But that being said, I would like to know.
Yeah, it's just curiosity. But you're right. It doesn't matter. Her photographs, and you know how I feel about photographs. So, you know, it's an art form, but it's a different art form than painting, right? So I'm not putting it in that category. But it is art. And so what she is doing is art. And I don't think you have to, you know, a lot of performance art, and the reason I don't like performance art in general is because you have to explain everything. You know, it's like, if you can't show love by explanation, you have to show it by doing it. And it's the same thing with art. You can't show art by explanation. You have to show it by doing it. If you want to put some fancy schmancy, you know, hyperbolic, able, articulate, dialectory words around it, you know, pepper it up, for sure, do it. But you know, and I know that great art shows itself. And I think that's what makes Cindy Sherman a great photographer, is because there's something that transcends art. And it's, I'm caught again in the chasm of, I don't know why I like it so much, but I do. And it's haunting. You know, it's also like, what's the picture, the one that she does with her looking in the mirror?
Oh yeah, she does a few with reflected surfaces. She does this series of Abjection with vomit and candy wrappers and just things that are grotesque. And then you can see her self-reflection in a tiny mirror. So she does incorporate that device often. And I find it just so provocative. And for me, it's not so much that her work doesn't need explanation. It's that her work really makes me feel. And there are multiple layers of understanding her photographs. I think at its basis, you can appreciate the performativity that she is in every single frame, yet completely transformed. And no two characters are the same. She said that she knew that the Untitled Film Still series was over when she ran out of stereotypes. And so she is appropriating various types of women. And so I think that's fun. There is an element of play, of dress up, of masquerade that to me feels very celebratory of childhood, and maybe specifically a female supported childhood. And so I love that. But that to me is only the launching off place. There was another theoretician who was really significant at the time named Laura Mulvey. She's a film critic. And she is influenced by psychoanalysis. And she's writing about Hollywood cinema and how it's often structured, especially films from the 1950s, along this tripartite gaze. So that's the gaze between the audience, the camera, and the characters, and how this gaze, it really champions the male point of view and regards the female subject from this often sexual perspective and objectifies that woman. And what I believe Sherman is doing is that she is completely subverting that male gaze. And so she's reorienting that from a female perspective, but she still recognizes the male presence and this presence of power, this presence of authority. And in the film stills, she is the only person, the only body within that still, but she never directly gazes at the viewer. She's always looking outside the picture plane at an unknown presence that we can't see. And that presence, I believe, is fair to presume male. And Sherman photographs these women, herself parading as these women, in moments of vulnerability, in moments of fragility. And so I think that she's deconstructing power, and she's incorporating film theory in such an articulate way in her work. So I think that's another layer to this masquerade.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, there's a lot of unpacking that you just did, and a lot of, like, I want to tangentially go off on all of them, but for sure, even as a kid, like, we all do it, even men, you know, like, we play dress up in whatever capacity. Women play dress up. It's part of learning. It's part of growing. It's part of the adultification. You know, and really it's a rite of passage in many ways. And so she's showing that. And I wonder, really, is there a Matthew Ralston? Is there a Madonna book? Remember that big Madonna book? Does any of that happen without Sydney Sherman? Like, her impact on pop culture, but we mentioned selfie, but really her impact on pop culture with what she's doing is highly, highly pervasive. And you could argue that, like, what artist has done both, like, create the art, but then have such a powerful impact on social dynamics and pop cultural dynamics? I mean, you could look at, like, sure, we go back to Eugène Delacroix, Liberty Leading the People. Sure, that was a different thing, but sure. But you can't really name a lot of paintings that have such an impact on social behavior and pop cultural behavior than a Cindy Sherman, right?
I totally agree.
There's Ansel Adams. There's some amazing photographers in the world and amazing painters in the world. But even the greatest painters, you know, George O'Keefe, you name them, they don't make people shift. You know, that's a little bit more of like a Michael Jordan when he decided to stop wearing the short shorts and he wore the like three-quarter shorts right above the knee. Jordan brought that. Without Jordan, nobody does that. Nobody. Nobody is rocking sneakers before Jordan comes out with Nike in his deal. Pre-Air Jordan. Nobody. He was not only the greatest basketball player. He's not only an artist. This is the Cindy Sherman comparison. He's not only an artist, but he's a pop cultural. He's a pop cultural icon and social behavior change maker, fashion aficionado, et cetera, so on. I think Cindy Sherman did that in art. And I can't think of anybody who has done that. Can you?
Not really. I was
weird. Celebrities I have like athletes, but no artists that I know that have had that impact.
I would say maybe Keith Haring and Shepherd Fairey, and also the transmutation of their art into clothing. But within just the space of fine art, I can't really think.
But selfies. But forget about Shepherd Fairey's clothing. I mean, yeah, that's cool. They were doing clothing. You know, Triple Five Soul was doing it back in the day. PNB Nation, Fresh, Jive, all these different companies were doing hip hop clothing. But, and Shepherd definitely, the image of Obama definitely helped the election. But I don't think anybody has pop culturally, and Keith Haring too. Keith Haring is on clothing and does a million billion licensing things. But I don't think he's changed the way we behave. That's the difference. Yes. Right? We're behaving absolutely like a Cindy Sherman photo. And it's a shallow version of it, right? Because Cindy Sherman's really doing the exploration. But no one, I never known anybody to do that before. And I know everybody now to do it after. Everybody in the world does is trying to be, yeah.
Right? I mean, it had to come at the cost of the death of the author. But I think that really promotes the efficacy of what Barthes was saying, is that now there is this generation of activated readers, activated viewers, and you just proved that. And it's true. We all are trying to step into that place of performing versions of ourselves, iterations of tropes that we think could be us one day. And so it's aspirational, and it is also an artifice. And I think that Sherman started that. And what I find really interesting is how other artists will quote Cindy Sherman, because we've talked about the quotations that she absorbs, but other artists have been very overtly influenced by her. And I'm thinking of two, which I'd love to talk through with you, because I find one quite beautiful and I find the other wholly offensive. And I don't know if this is just because of my own predisposition to dislike the latter artist, not and to appreciate the former, but I'll introduce them briefly and then we can talk about it. There's a contemporary Japanese artist, Yasumasa Morimura, and he photographs himself in mise-en-scenes of Western paintings. He has one really iconic image of himself as the bartender of Manet's Folies Bergères, and he's nude in that one, even though the bartender in the original painting is not. And he has one where he very faithfully recreates a Cindy Sherman, and it's one of her centerfold series. And in his, it's called To My Younger Sister. He's, I think, just a couple years older than Sherman. And to me, his portraits of himself as famous women from Western art and popular culture, it really breaks down the binaries between male and female, as well as between East and West. And so I think that there's a poetry in his inclusion of his Eastern male body in these compositions that are white and female and Western. So I think that adds an interesting element to her work, and that it isn't reappropriation of the male gaze. I see it as functioning as a, maybe in tandem with what Cindy Sherman was doing, but not in a way that's offensive. And then there's another person, another potentially artist, James Franco. And you know my thoughts on him. The one argument that my husband and I will get into, he loves James Franco completely inexplicably. But in 2013, the Pace Gallery mounted this whole exhibit of 29 photographs taken by Franco, where it's almost this conceptual experiment, but he too is trying to put his own body into Cindy Sherman's mise-en-scene. And I find this very different. He doesn't even fully commit. You see, in a lot of the images, he has a beard and a mustache. He couldn't even shave his face. And so to me, this remixing, this appropriation of an appropriation artist, it's maybe at best sophomoric in a fun elitist way. Like, you knowing so much about art history would be able to say, oh, I think this is what he's quoting in this image. And ooh, that one relates to this Cindy Sherman. But you have to have an elitist understanding of photography in order to get the joke. But I think it, at worst, it's sexist and disrespectful. This white male artist.
Listen.
Yeah, what do you think? Tell me.
I'm going to stop you right there. Listen,
please.
He's just James Franco. He's an actor. Every actor, you know, 60-70% of all actors are so messed up anyway. I mean, let's be real. He's an actor. Actors usually are completely, I mean, my dad was an actor. My mom and dad met in acting class, which is Strasbourg. You know, he was the star of a soap opera. I mean, the reality is that most actors, not all, are narcissistic. Most actors are delusional. Most actors have delusion of grandeur, and they think they're artists. A lot of people already think they're artists as it is. It's already an annoying amount of people who believe that they're artists and they're great. James Franco is another guy who just thinks he's a great artist, and that's it. And so, yeah, you're right. It's not a calculated referencing of all these people that he's grown up with and studied and entrenched himself in. He's just wielding his power. I mean, he's by the way, I think he's a very good actor.
I mean, I do too.
I think, you know, all the Judd Apatow stuff and all the other stuff, he's fantastic. He's, you know, we go back to the Michael Jordan. Remember, I was talking about Michael Jordan. You know, Michael Jordan wasn't a great actor either, and he did acting. And Shaquille O'Neal wasn't a great actor either, he did acting. And Eddie Murphy wasn't a great singer. He was a phenomenal comedian, maybe the greatest of all time. And he was a fantastic actor, as exemplified by Beverly Hills Cop and Trading Places. Fantastic Coming to America. But he was a terrible, terrible, terrible singer. And he came out because everybody feels when they're at a certain level, because you have so many yes men around you. So you got this arrogant actor guy. So we can't even have him as part of the discussion. I mean, honestly, he doesn't even qualify. I mean, what we just said about Cindy Sherman is how important she was, not only as an artist, but in terms of just our behavior socially. She has really been had such an impact that's what we should only be focusing on. Is that everything else, you know, in some capacity in this genre has to be tethered to her. Has to be. So that's kind of
where... unfortunately, it's very, very tethered to her. But I guess that was the point. Yeah. I hear what you're saying. I also think that it's instructive to see the impact of her incredibly significant work and how other artists have added to that or attempted to. And I see one of those two examples as really contributing to that conversation. And I know that I have a natural prejudice to Franco as an artist, not as an actor, but I think that he could have contributed too. I just don't think that this project was that. And it's a little confusing as to why such a reputable gallery would host the show, but
numbers. They're just trying to sell. They're trying to make money. Everybody's trying to make money. You know what I'm saying? They don't necessarily even think it's good. Who knows what they think, but they're just trying to make money. And also you're getting in all the extra celebrity clientele. And right, they're signing up on their contact list. They're expanding their Rolodex, and the morality in any culture is very low. The ethics, you know, are very low, and that's the reality. We know that.
We do know that, and we can still be saddened by it. I have so much respect for her that I remember feeling like that was, it bastardized something that I love so much. But to what you were saying, it probably got a lot of people who had never heard of Sherman's work, at least it put this Franco show, put her work on their radar. So
that's true.
Celebrate him for that.
I mean, like I said, you know, sometimes I can get persuaded by certain things. And I think I got persuaded by doing a deeper dive into her and by you, you know, and your love and enthusiasm of her work. But I think I'm like, you know, everybody. I mean, I didn't really understand her work, and I'm still trying to understand it. I just understand that it's hard and it's good and it's pervasive and it's had a massive impact on the way that we see things and feel things from images, and how everybody really can take a page out of that book, even as a painter, you know, because that's to make that kind of transformation and put yourself in it. I mean, you see the early portraits and the later portraits and the chronicling of Rembrandt self-portraits. He really did a deep dive into introspection. You know, it was incredibly spiritual and introspective, but then, you know, Sherman kind of takes us out of that. Like, it's bizarre. Like Rembrandt, you didn't feel like someone, he didn't care if you were looking at his bulbous nose with calluses, but you, like you said, it feels someone's watching her and then she's watching them and then they're watching me. How do I feel like I'm pulled into it? That's kind of how I feel. Like, what's going on? I feel unsettled by a lot of her work.
That is probably what she's trying to bring out in you, is that you are implicated as a viewer. And how does your power as somebody who's looking as a voyeur, how does your scopophilia add to her work, and how does it activate it, and how does it resolve it, if in fact it does? And her new body of work that's on view in Soho at Hauser & Wirth, I think it articulates these themes once again, but now we're talking about aging female bodies and this desire for women to mask their age, and how we don't see the physical manifestations of age as something to venerate or just something to even accept. And so her work, you were talking about the bulbous nose of a Rembrandt. The images from this Hauser & Wirth show are quite grotesque. And she, I think, is embracing and once again subverting our culture of aging, and especially for women. And then it's an amalgam of digital photography and more manual photography. And so she is hybridizing a lot of different cultural and also process-based themes.
We have to send this episode to Cindy Sherman.
It's going to be
like one of those moments where you step and you break the fourth wall and you go like, that's not what I was doing at all, guys. No, I'm kidding. But I do too. I want her to listen to how impactful and important, she hears it from everybody, I'm sure, but how impactful and important that we think she is. I mean,
yes, well, really, it was such a delight. I know your feelings about photography, but I am really surprised. Shocked. Yeah, I am. I'm shocked and totally delighted. So this was a very fun conversation for me.
Me too. I learn all the time from you. I wrote down the 50 different words that you use that I don't know the meaning of. So I'm gonna look those up later. And in the meantime, Lizzie, it's always a pleasure. Cindy Sherman is really brilliant. And everybody listening, please take a look at her work and send this episode and tag her on Instagram about this episode. Thanks, guys. Bye.